Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Today we're reading from the third canto, chapter 1, text 31. Chapter is entitled Questions by Vidura. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Chemam sakachchid yuyudhana aste. So that first line, chemam, means all good. Kachchid means is a question, whether yuyudhana, is yuyudhana okay? Is there chemam, all good for yuyudhana? How is Yuyodhana doing? Chemam sakashchid yuyodhana aste.
Chemam sakashchid
yuyodhana aste.
Chemam
sakashchid yuyodhana aste. Ya palgunal. Phalguna is from Arjun. Labdha has achieved Dhanu Rahasya. So he understood the intricacies of military art from Arjun. So is Yuyodhana doing well? He learned Dhanu Rahasya from Falguna Arjun. Ya Falguna Labdha Dhanu Rahasya. Ya Falguna Labdha Dhanu Rahasya. Lebhen jasad hoksha jase vayayva. So Lebhe also achieved Adhokshaja, his name for God, of the transcendence, Sevaya, by service. So he also achieved the opportunity to serve the Lord. Lebhen jasad hoksha jase vayayva. Lebhen jasad hoksha jase vayayva. Gatim tadiyam yati vir durapam. So gatim means the goal, the destination. Which is durapam, very difficult to be achieved even by yati. Yati is another name for sannyasis, renouncers. Gatim tadiyam. Tadiya means transcendental. So he achieved that transcendental destination of lebhen jasod hoksha jase vayayava. He got that rare opportunity to serve the Lord. Gatim tadiyam yati bir durapam. Gatim tadiyam yati bir durapam. Kshemam sakachchid yuyodhana aste. Ya palguna labdha dhanu rahasya. Lebhenja sadhoksha jase vayayva. Gatim tadiyam yati bhir durapam. Done the word-for-word translation. Translation. O Uddhava, does Duryodhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach, even for great renouncers. So we can all... Should I do it again? Or should we turn it up louder? Yeah. It sounds kind of funny this morning, too. We need a sound technician here. Somebody that knows how to adjust the HQ. Okay. I'm eating the mic. I don't know if I'll be able to do this the whole time. All right, so I'll read the translation again. O Uddhava, does Duryodhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach, even for great renouncers. So before I go into the purport, Srimad Bhagavatam, the third verse, if you know it, chant along. Wait a minute, how's the third one start? What's the first word? Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukham mukaram rita dravasam yatam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavakaha. So in that verse, Srimad Bhagavatam is describing itself that it is the ripened fruit from the tree of Vedic knowledge. And that ripened fruit is full of juice, and it says, drink that juice again and again. Rasika, those who are juice drinkers. Just keep reading Srimad Bhagavatam over and over again. And in the purport, Prabhupada talks about the five primary rasas, which is a similar word. Is it the same word? Rasa is, and there's rasa. Yeah, rasa. Rasa means juice. And there's the five primary rasas. And there's the seven secondary rasas. And let's open it up. Who knows one or two of the seven secondary rasas? Just shout it out.
Laughter.
Oh man, she beat you to it. Is that intentional? Hasya, okay. Ghastliness.
Chivalry.
Bibatsa. Chivalry. Vira. Adbhuta. Wonder. Okay, we're halfway there.
Devastation?
Bibatsa, same. Bibatsa, okay, yeah. Bibatsa, disgust, devastation. What else? We got four of them.
Asya, Karuna,
Karuna? Karuna or sometimes Daya?
Karuna,
okay, which means compassion. What else? We got five. Rodra, anger. And there's one more.
Bhayanaka,
yeah, fear. Thank you. So in this section, what kind of rasa are we tasting here? I was thinking how, imagine, because this is 36 years after Battle of Kurukshetra, Vidura left before the battle. He's wandering around as like a sannyasi, visiting holy places. That was described in the last chapter. And he arrives in the best of holy places. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada gives these beautiful purports about how people are there still looking for Krishna, and the devotees see Krishna everywhere, although they're always looking for him, and they expect to see him. And that expectation is as good as seeing Krishna. And then he sees Uddhava. Now imagine 36 years ago, that was 1987. Now imagine if you were in Vrindavan today, and somebody that you hadn't seen since 1987 just appeared there. And you found a quiet spot. You're sitting there in meditation. This person comes to you and says, and you embrace, and first they embrace, they're crying, they're feeling so much transcendental happiness seeing each other. And then that person asks, how is Dravanaksha? How is Amayatma? How is Narada Muni doing? How is Gaurasundar, who, and then they say a little bit about each one. Gaurasundar, who helped establish the Hare Krishna movement in the early days in Hawaii. And you'd be wondering, like, does he know? In the beginning of this section, in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami saying, these are not practical questions, they're more psychological. Vidura was in shock. He had just heard the news. And to hear the news of all of these devotees passing away, how's Kalyapani? Tell me, he put on wonderful plays. How's Nandakishore, who pleased Prabhupada when he put on that drama in Brooklyn? And Prabhupada said, that was better than the book. So just by hearing their names, you feel like, okay, this family, this we're really close. We all love the same people. We know the same people. And he knows what's going on. But with each person, and the same thing happens when Arjuna, back in the first canto, when Arjuna comes back from Dwaraka, and Yudhishthira asks him, what's wrong? You don't look very happy. Is it because of this? And then he also goes through a list of names. How are these people? And Arjuna's like, he can't respond. It's just too much for him. It takes a while for Arjuna to gather his composure. And here's a real tough guy, someone who's in battles. He's seen difficult things. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam is full of rasa, full of juice, and in every section there's something, there's some special flavor. So of those seven secondary rasas, what do we see here?
Karuna?
How so?
He's caring about the welfare of Duryodhana.
Okay, he's caring about their welfare. What's the main one though? Wonder, well, I'm seeing like shock, bibhatsa, like disgust. There's a lot of translations to that word, but it's like shock, and it's a crushing kind of sadness. And that's the flavor too. When we feel those kinds of flavors, this is what touches our emotions, that's what really touches us. We can hear lots and lots and lots of information about Krishna, and we don't remember much of it, but we just remember, while that person was describing Krishna, I got this really good feeling. I really felt like I was with Krishna, and I felt these kinds of emotions. And that's how the Bhagavatam takes us beyond. There's like three main topics that I want to bring out here. And I'll start reading the purport and get into the next topic. That was the first one I wanted to bring out. That's different flavors in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the prescription is given in the third verse, Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Padam. There's this ripe fruit that's on this tree of the Vedas. Shukam Mukaram Rita Dravasamyatam. And spoken by Shukadev Goswami, it becomes even more sweet. Pibata. Piba means to drink. So, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. So, drink this juice. Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. So, you people who are expert rasa drinkers, drink it again and again. All the time. Even, it's implied that even after you achieve liberation, even after you've achieved perfection, all of these great people are still drinking this. It's not that it's something you do and then you're done with. This is what you do in your healthy condition. So, does Duryodhan farewell? He learned the intricacies of military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to achieve, very difficult to reach, even for great renouncers. Purport: the destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokshaja, he who is beyond the reach of the senses. So this is the destination. This is our goal. Prabhupada's establishing our goal. I was thinking a couple days ago, like, life, it's almost like you find yourself at a starting line, someone says, ready, set, go, and you start running, and everybody's shouting, go, 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 run, run, run. And all the other runners are just running in circles, some are jogging in place, and you don't know where the finish line is, if there even is a finish line. And so you're just running, and the faster you run, everybody shouts, go, go, and you look, there's somebody way up ahead, well, I'll try following them. And they don't know where they're going either. And then there's more starting guns going, and more people coming up running, and bam, more people are running, and bam, more people are running, and whoa, it's just confusing. What are we going anywhere? Is there any purpose to this? And that's what culture is about, culture, tradition, society, because otherwise it just looks meaningless. Here I am, just get food, survive, run, stack up rocks, dig holes, and then die. Is there any purpose to it? So Prabhupada very clearly establishes our goal here in the very first sentence. In the Bhagavad Gita, let's see, it's in the early on purports, end of the second chapter, beginning of the third, dissatisfaction in the mind is caused by not having a goal. Anyone remember that statement? Anyway, so here he's establishing what the goal is. I'll read it again. The destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokshaja, he who is beyond the reach of the senses. When Prabhupada arrived in London, in England, the devotees had set up all kinds of television programs for him, and Ranchor Das, I was just watching his memory. This was the first time he saw Prabhupada, was on TV. He was being interviewed. He didn't know who he was. He was like, who is this monk? And he was having a hard time understanding him through his accent. The interviewer asked, so, this God you're talking about, is it the same God that we worship here? And Prabhupada answered, yes, it is the same. What do you have to tell us beyond what we already know? Prabhupada said, I have come here to teach you how the technique whereby you can sit with God face to face and converse as we are conversing right here. And the man asked, how do you do that? What is the technique? Prabhupada said, simply by singing the names of God. And Rancher said, he was like, what? What did he say? And he asked his father, did he just say just singing? There's got to be more to it than that. And then the interviewer asked, would you like to give a demonstration? And he said, up until that time, Prabhupada was very grave, and he had a stern expression. But when the interviewer asked him, would you like to give a demonstration, Prabhupada just made this beautiful smile that lit up the whole place, and he said, yes. And then he took a couple steps over, sat on the floor with a couple of devotees, and they began a little kirtan, singing Hare Krishna, and Rancher said, when I saw that, when I heard it, I said, yes, this is it, this is how it works. And just seeing Prabhupada's conviction and his devotion, And then, so they sang for a while, and then the show closed, and Rancher turned to his father and said, "Wasn't that amazing?" And his father said, "No." But I thought that is Prabhupada's conviction, that simply by sitting down on the floor in the television studio and singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you are conversing with God face to face, just as we are talking right now, back and forth. So Prabhupada had that conviction, and he gave it to the devotees that were with him, and they passed it on down to us, and we're getting some little tiny trace of it, and we can read his words here. So that was the first thing I thought of when I read that first sentence. The destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead. That's the destination of transcendence. Now, in the purport, he's going to talk about other transcenders, other people, other practitioners who are trying to transcend the situation of the world. You'd be surprised, transcendental is not really a common word among devotees. We use it all the time. We transcend all kinds of things. But when you talk to outsiders, sometimes you have to explain to them. I asked the group, like, "Do you know what this word means?" And they said, "No." And I said, "Okay, it's raining outside. We are inside, therefore we are transcending the situation. There are problems. You find a shelter. You find some way to remove yourself from the problem." So the material world is full of problems. Transcendentalists are trying to rise above the problem. If you're in the ocean and someone just lifts you up a little bit so you don't have to keep stroking, it's like, oh, what a relief. If you just had an empty milk jug with the lid on it, that would save your life out in the middle of the ocean. It just relax a little bit. It would keep you alive a little bit longer. But you haven't really achieved shelter. You've gotten a little relief. Real shelter will come for us because we are creatures of the land. To transcend the ocean, we're sitting here, 50 miles from the ocean, whatever it is, 100 miles. So destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead. That's where we need to go. Aruya krichtrena param padam tata patantyado nadrita yushmadangraya. If you have other methods, this was from the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna before he was born. And they said, "Dear Lord, people who don't take shelter of your lotus feet, they may think themselves vimuktamaninas. They may think themselves to be liberated, but they fall back down again into material activities because they have not gotten any real shelter." All right, I'll read the first sentence again. Don't worry, I'm not going to do this with each sentence in the purport, although that wouldn't be bad. The destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokshaja, he who is beyond the reach of the senses. The renouncers of the world, the sannyasis, give up all worldly connections, namely family, wife, children, friends, home, wealth, everything, to attain the transcendental bliss of Brahman happiness. Okay, Brahman happiness, I'll read on. But Adhokshaja happiness is beyond Brahman happiness. What does Bhagavad Gita say about Brahman happiness? Anyone have a shloka handy they can toss out? Yeah, it's right there in the first line. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati. Prasannatma just walked in here. He's a neurologist, and I met him 10 years ago in New Brindavan. He's studying neurology, and his main study is what makes people happy. And so when he took initiation, he got the name Prasanatma. So he's studying what makes people happy. And we had a great time reading and discussing Bhagavatam together. So Brahmabhuta Prasannatma. So Brahma, when you achieve the Brahman platform, Prasannatma, you become happy because you're relieved from na shochati, na kankshati. So shochati means lamentation, kankshati means hankering. This is so connected to lamentation is really deeply rooted in tamagun, the mode of ignorance. When you're in the mode of ignorance, you just sit around and think, if only I went to work 10 years ago and made enough money that I could retire now. If only I planted trees, I'd have free fruit. If only all of these things didn't happen. So it's just always lamenting, thinking of the past. Lamentation, tamagun. Rajagun, you're hankering for things. So in the mode of passion, you want all of these things, so therefore you're bound to work really hard. You're bound by your desires, and it's suffering. So Brahmabhuta, you've transcended those conditions. Brahmabhuta prasannatmi ma nashochati nakankshati. Okay, so the transcenders, the renouncers of the world, the sannyasis, give up all worldly connections to attain the transcendental bliss of Brahman happiness. Okay, so that's as far as they go. They see this, okay, I'm going to give up hankering, I'm going to give up lamenting, I'm going to give up my wife, I'm going to give up all my connections, and understand that I am Brahman. But they have no idea of Parabrahman. I was listening to a lecture Prabhupada in Los Angeles, 1968. He said, this word Parabrahman, the Mayavadis have no idea what that is. Because they think everything is Brahman. What's this Parabrahman? Yeah, Brahman, Parabrahman, same thing. But no. Parabrahman means the personality of Krishna. That's our destination. We are Brahman, yes. We are spiritual. We are above the influence of the modes of nature in our real, pure condition. But when we allow the influence of Rajas and Tamas to influence us, then we are held down. How's chapter 14 start introducing the three modes of nature? It says originally, we are pure, we are Brahman. But then we become conditioned by the three gunas. When we become free from those gunas, then we go back to being Brahman. And that's as far as some people see in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like when I'm looking in the refrigerator for the butter. I'm looking all over and I don't see it. And then I got to ask my wife and she says, duh, it's right here. There it is. So some people, they're looking all over the Bhagavad Gita and they don't see what's beyond Brahman. But once you see it, you can't miss it. It's just like men looking for butter in the fridge. Once you see it, oh, there it is. Okay, got it. It goes right there. Once you see it, so Brahmabhuta prasanatma nashochati nakankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu. They get that far. But then the last line they don't really see. Mad bhaktim lavate param. So once you're there, then you can go into bhakti. They don't read the bhakti lines. They just skim over it. It doesn't mean anything, just like when we are looking for butter in the fridge. It's like, I don't see it. I know some people who are very deeply into Advaita Vedanta. And in that group, for so many of them, chapter 12 is their favorite chapter. I don't get it. I don't get how they can read chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita and get Advaita Vedanta out of that. It's Prabhupada's favorite go-to verse about how the impersonal conception is very difficult for us to achieve. I guess they see it as a challenge and like, yeah, we're going to go for it because it's difficult, so it's got to be the best. But Prabhupada is saying, okay, Brahman happiness, there's a goal. All right, go for that. Don't just chase after senses and become attached to things. But he says, but adhokshaja happiness is beyond Brahman happiness. The empiric philosophers enjoy a transcendental bliss, enjoy a transcendental quality of bliss by philosophical speculation on the supreme truth. But beyond that pleasure is the pleasure enjoyed by Brahman in his eternal form of the personality of Godhead. Brahman bliss is enjoyed by living entities after liberation from material bondage. Wait, that... I'm going to read that sentence again, the previous one. The empiric philosophers, and see if you can follow it. See if anybody can make any sense out of this. What's he talking about? This is a challenge. This is a tough one. Prabhupada's packing a lot of information into each sentence here. The empiric philosophers enjoy a transcendental quality of bliss by philosophical speculation on the supreme truth. Okay, that's cool. But beyond that pleasure is the pleasure enjoyed by Brahman in his eternal form of the personality of Godhead. What's he talking about there? What does that mean?
Krishna enjoys more than the mental speculator who thinks he's become one with the Supreme.
Krishna enjoys more than the mental speculator who thinks he has become one with the Supreme. Okay, good, yeah. I'll go with that. Yeah, it seems like he's pointing directly to there's a higher pleasure enjoyed by Krishna. And I think that'll help us understand what's coming up. Brahman bliss is enjoyed by living entities after liberation from material bondage. Okay? When we transcend the problems. Just coming in out of the rain is a big relief. But para Brahman, there's that word that trips up the Mayavadis, or they just overlook it. Like, yeah, they just don't even see it. But para Brahman, the personality of Godhead, enjoys eternally a bliss of his own potency. Okay, now he's introducing something really, really cool here, which is called the Ladini potency. The empiric philosopher who studies Brahman by negation of the external features has not yet learned the quality of the Ladini potency of Brahman. Out of many potencies of the omnipotent, there are three features of his internal potency, namely Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. And in spite of their strict adherence to the principles of Yam, Niyam, Asana, Dhyana, Dharana, and Pranayam, the great yogis and jnanis are unable to enter into the internal potency of the Lord. This internal potency is, however, easily realized by the devotees of the Lord by dint of devotional service. Yuyudham achieved this stage of life just as he achieved expert knowledge in military science from Arjuna. Thus, his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. And that concludes the purport. Oh boy. Prabhupada didn't say much about Yuyudham, who is also known as Satyaki. I'm going to give a little, I looked up a little bit, and everywhere, everyone seems to give the same overview of his life, which is good. It's in ISKCON sites, it's in Advaita Vedanta sites. Everyone seems to have, somebody wrote up a nice overview of his life, and so I took it, trimmed it down a little bit. So here we go. And this also adds to some of the drama of what's going on here. Yuyodhan, also known as Satyaki, is a very close friend of Arjuna, with whom he trained under Drona in military arts. He accompanied Krishna to the Kuru palace as an emissary of peace, in which they were ridiculed and turned down by the sons of Dhritarashtra. In the Kurukshetra war, Satyaki and Kritavarma were two important Yadava heroes who fought on opposing sides. Satyaki fought on the side of the Pandavas. Satyaki is Yuyodhan, who we're reading about here. Kritavarma joined the Kauravas, and that was because Kritavarma was part of Krishna's army. Krishna gave his army to Dronacharya, so they were forced to fight even though they were very close friends. A lot of drama here. Satyaki was a valiant warrior, and on one occasion stunned Drona by breaking his bow for a successive 101 times. In the course of the 14th day of the conflict, Satyaki fights an intense battle with his arch-rival Burishravas, with whom he had a long-standing family feud. After a long and bloody battle, Satyaki begins to tire, and Burishravas batters him and drags him across the battlefield. Arjuna is warned by Lord Krishna of what is happening. Burishravas prepares to kill Satyaki, but he is rescued by Arjuna, who shoots an arrow, cutting off Burishravas' arm. Burishrava wails out that by striking him without warning, Arjuna had disgraced the honor between warriors. Arjuna rebukes him for attacking a defenseless Satyaki. Arjuna rebukes him, meaning Burishravas, for attacking a defenseless Satyaki and says that protecting Satyaki's life at all costs was his responsibility as a friend. Moreover, he criticizes Burishravas for his actions during the death of Abhimanyu. Recognizing his shame, Burishravas lays out his weapons and sits down in meditation. Satyaki then awakens and swiftly decapitates his enemy. He is condemned for this rash act, but Satyaki states that the moment Burishravas struck his semi-conscious body, he had sworn that he would kill Burishravas. Satyaki and Kritavarma both survived the Kurukshetra conflict. Okay, this is important to what's going on here. Kritavarma is involved in the slaughter of the Panchalas and the sons of the Pandavas in the night attack with Kripacharya and Ashwatthama. At Prabhas, 36 years after the war, Satyaki accuses Kritavarma of killing sleeping soldiers, and Kritavarma criticizes Satyaki for his beheading of the unarmed Burishravas. In the ensuing drunken fight, Satyaki, Kritavarma, and the rest of the Yadavas are exterminated as ordained by Gandhari's curse. So, Yuyodhana started the fight at Prabhas. Yuyodhana and Kritavarma. They were drunk. They criticized each other. They were joking about it, but people weren't laughing. And then people took different sides. They pulled up the grass. Sometimes it says grass, sometimes it says bamboo, but it had grown into iron, and Satyaki just whacked Kritavarma and cut his head right off. Hare Krishna. So he's one of the first people to be asked about here. How's Ugrasena? How's Samba? How's Yuyodhana? Oh, also, let me get out the Bhagavad Gita. Text number 4. Does anyone have it memorized?
Chapter
1. Atra Shura Maheshvasa Vimarjuna Samayuti Yuyodhana Viratascha Drupadascha Maharata. Here in this army, this is Duryodhana speaking, here in this army, the opposing army, are many heroic bowmen equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Yuyodhana, Virata, and Drupada. So, Bhima Arjuna Samayuti, they're equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna. And when, on that 14th day of the battle, Arjuna had vowed to kill Jayadratha, and they left Satyaki to protect Yudhishthira. They considered, okay, Yudhishthira is safe with Satyaki here. He's as good as Arjuna. And so, as Prabhupada says, his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Let's see if I had anything else that I wanted to bring out. Okay, so we have this really lofty goal to become a personal associate of the Lord. And how do we do that? I mean, we need, that's our goal, but what are we going to do? We need some goals right in front of us. Prabhupada gives that to us repeatedly. The simple, basic goal of just keep hearing. And in a few places, he says, mold your life so that you're always hearing about Krishna. And I was thinking molding, when, like these columns out here, they were just normal columns, but they made these moldings there in the barn. I remember they had them on this table. They poured the concrete in there. They had this motor running to like shake the table so everything got shaken down and to fit into all those intricate patterns. And then so now these columns are decorated. And so by hearing, we become decorated. And what are the decorations of a sadhu? Titikshava, Karunika, Surida, Sarvadehinam, Ajata, Shatrava, Shanta, Sadhava, Sadhu Bhushana. So the Bhushana, the decorations, we can all become beautiful. And the way to become a sadhu really is by hearing. Prabhupada always says that. Hearing, chanting. He said, I was good at hearing, so now I'm pretty good at chanting. And how much should you hear? As much as possible, and for as long as you can. Just more and more, just go on hearing. All right, so we have some time left. Any questions, any discussion? I'll read the verse one more time while he's bringing you the mic. O Uddhava, does Yuyodhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach, even for great renouncers.
Is there something in the purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, verse 4, about Satyaki or Yuyodhana? I seem to vaguely remember it mentioning that his particular service to Krishna or something.
Yes, there is. All right, it's a short purport. Even though Drishtadyumna was not a very important obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's very great power in the military art, there were many others who were causes of fear. They are mentioned by Duryodhana as great stumbling blocks on the path of victory because each and every one of them was as formidable as Bhima and Arjuna. He knew the strength of Bhima and Arjuna, and thus he compared the others with them. So that's
all it does.
Yeah, that's all it is there.
Somewhere I vaguely remember somewhere hearing that he was like he drove a chariot for Krishna or something like that. I don't know. I also consider the source not a transcendental source, but a long time ago I saw a movie by Satyajit Roy about an uncle in a family who had gone and traveled around the world and been away for 20 years, and then he came back and he found that his nephew's name was Satyaki, and he said, oh, Krishna's disciple. He smiled and he said, oh, Krishna's disciple, Satyaki. But I don't know.
Okay. Quoting movies. Thank you. Those can be pretty good. Anything else?
Yes. So I can't remember exactly what you said, but it made me think when Duryodhan chose Krishna's army. So all of these, all of Krishna's army, did any one of them like object to going over to the Kaurava side? Or they just took it as Krishna's ordaining that, or?
I don't know. I'm not a real deep Mahabharata scholar. Some folks have really gotten into it. Are there any? That was just kind of the way they did it. Like Kritavarma, the idea I got was he was not into this at all. And there was some story about somebody was going, I'm going to go and join the Pandavas army. And on the way, this person with his whole army was given a grand reception, big meals and tents and a place to stay. And he said, wow, this is really wonderful. Whoever has given us this nice reception, I will lay down my life for them. And then he found out it was Duryodhan that had done it. So it's like, oh man, I've made that promise. Now I've got to go fight on his side. And first he went to Arjuna and said, I'm really sorry, but this happened. And Arjuna or Yudhishthira, they said, yeah, I understand. Okay, you're a man of character. And that was just the way they were. Like, I've signed up for this. Okay, we're going to do this. And she's asking about a brother of...
I can't remember. I guess Sirikhan would have been here. But wasn't it Yuyutsu or somebody who just before the battle said he was going to go towards the Pandava side? Was there somebody?
Yeah.
It could be.
Stepbrother, yeah? Yeah.
Okay. A lot of drama in there. And the Bhagavad Gita, starting off those lists of names that you stumbled over the first time you read them, like, what the heck is this? I can't pronounce any of this. But if you've studied the whole Mahabharata when you're reading this, it's like, oh my God, oh no, this one, and this one. It just creates more tension and drama. But usually when I'm reading Bhagavad Gita with someone for the first time,